Turkey, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Lord, it feels like I haven't been on the air for at least 4 days. Oh, wait. Yeah. I haven't. Had some lovely days with family. My sister and brother-in-law up from Mobile. Two of our daughters. And our grandchildren. Ferg stayed here back at the ranch to look after things and go to work, him being a working stiff now. But we did, and Lord, we ate. Yeah, it's more in Monday, but we can start the program with a little food porn, can't we? I mean, golly Moses. No, what we're going to do is start by wrestling with the damn pop filter today. You never know what day it's going to be. And it's Wrestle with the Pop Filter Day. No, that's it. Dadgummit. Get up there. I said stay put. All right. I think we got it now. It's more in Monday, but we can have a little food porn, can't we? One of the best reasons to have summer is outdoor cookery. And, I mean, there must have been 15 pounds of boiled shrimp. And there was ribs. And there were speedies. And thank you very kindly, Kelly. Kelly heard me talking about not being able to get speedy sauce anymore. And then, lo and behold, I look in a box shows up, and there's two bottles of Speedies. So it got put to very, very, very good use. No, I didn't have my goiter removed, Anatole, in the chat room there. No. There's no goiter there, but still, I didn't have one removed. Maybe I should have one removed. But at any rate, something on the order of a gallon of blueberries went on sale at the Wiggling Pig. And so there was a gallon of homemade blueberry French vanilla ice cream. Ooh. Yummy. I crushed most of the blueberries, left a few of them whole, and let the ice cream maker do its thing. Oh, it was tasty. And then we finished up the day, the week yesterday morning, got up and made Kaneka sausage and eggs. Now, Kaneka sausage is a hickory smoked, naturally cased long link sausage, a little bit bigger around than a dime, and it's available in more than 20 states, none of which are West Virginia. So my sister and brother-in-law sort of snuck some in, snuck some across the border. And just had that with, you know, cooked it, chopped it, scrambled it with eggs. Whoa. A little toast, a little butter. It was some kind of good. And you know what else didn't happen? And maybe you'll be... Marty asking, is one of those 20 states California? Well, considering it's made in Evergreen, Alabama, I'm guessing no. If we just sit here and tick it off, and I'm figuring Texas, Louisiana, I know because Haley said they got it in Arkansas, Mississippi Stan, Kentucky Stan, Tennessee Stan, Alabama Stan, Florida Stan, South Carolina Stan, North Carolina Stan, that's 10, Virginia Stan, Ohio, that's 12, Maryland, 13, Pennsylvania, 14, maybe Missouri, I don't know, 15. But anyway, there's more than it's exported from Evergreen, Alabama, to more than 20 states. Again, I reiterate, none of which are West Virginia. They can't find us. The Wiggling Pig. Can't find it. The Kroger. Can't find it. Even the vaunted intergalactic search and inventory control system of Wally World. Can't find it. Betsy said, why do you call all the states Stan? I don't call all the states Stan. You'll notice I said Ohio. And you'll notice I said Pennsylvania. The Stan is reserved for states that are run by religious fundamentalists and religious extremists and so forth. Thank you very kindly. Jeremy in Vermont noting loud and clear on TuneIn. Oh, hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. Yeah, good to get that out of the way. A little program note before we jump into things. A little program note. This will only be a 2-hour program. Because I got a note from Kathy Malloy. And Kathy said that Mike is under the weather and feeling pretty miserable. So I'll be covering for Mike this evening, sitting in the chair that's way too big and the shoes that are way too big to fill. But from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'll be filling in for Mike, so I will be knocking off about, 8-ish here. And that's, so, be aware, be alert. So that's just, program that. And, now, let's see, some other stuff that we take care of at the beginning of the program. This is, of course, the first day of August, 2016. A new month begins, a new month awaits. Yes, we did. We beat the Swede in the month of July, which means a $110 bonus. This month's Beat the Swede goes up, according to our buddy Scott, to 120. Yes? Cool. So we will try to beat the Swede this month, too, because it's fun. And we start that this evening. Well, we got a little bit of a jump on it, thanks to Catherine. The Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge, it being the first day of the month, is on the table. And thanks to Randy in PA, who was always first past the post. And thanks to Catherine, who got out in front of it. We've got $100 to go to meet Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. And that'll keep us on track. $100, and Shirley will double it. Because the first $100 already came in. Good? Good. Yes. So if you want to help keep this program on the air, you can simply go to headonradionetwork.com and click on contribute, and there you will see a field, and you fill out your name, your address, that kind of stuff. There's a field for what you do down to the Conecuh factory and how much you get for doing it. You can leave those blank. And let me tell you something. When you go by there, you know how good it smells in your neighborhood when somebody has the smoker out and they're putting the hickory to some ribs or a shoulder or whatever? That whole area down there smells like hickory. And it's kind of like the shrimp boil that my brother-in-law uses. It doesn't, you know, it's not redolent of shrimp or even seafood generally. It just smells like all the spices and everything that goes into the boil. And you know what? I don't know why that aroma is not a cologne, a perfume. It's intoxicating. But anyway, no, that whole area smells like hickory, and it is delicious. So we've got the $100 to go on Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge, and you just do the thing at PayPal. You get to the next screen, and that's where you make your credit card, you know, et cetera, choices. And a reminder, courtesy of Brother Deacon Gerald, the head of the Building and Grounds Committee of the Cathedral of Common Sense, the subscriber challenge still stands, $20. And then Gerald says, we'll see how it goes after that. So in other words, if we can get two $10 a month subscribers or one $20 a month subscriber, because we need subscribers, your subscription only lasts a year and then it falls off. So we need two at 10 or one at 20, and Brother Deacon Gerald will double that. He'll double that for you as an incentive. So that's there too. And that's a big deal. I noticed something whilst I was gone. We don't have, toward the end of the month, we don't have any subscribers on the 27th, 28th, or 29th, I don't think. We don't. But anyway you slice it, this is a nice deal. So hopefully somebody will take up Brother Deacon Gerald on his kind offer. Oh, the U.S. Postal Service. Yes, there's that too. I'm a little rusty. I'll tell you, I didn't follow a lot of news. The Wi-Fi, more on Wi-Fi in a minute. The Wi-Fi out there where we were in the wilds of rural West Virginia ain't worth a damn. And so rather than sit there and fret about what I was missing, you know, I posted a little bit here and there on Facebook, you know, some pictures of the chicken, some pictures of the ribs, some pictures of the shrimp. But I didn't pay attention to a lot of news. Because sometimes you need to walk away from it. By the time, we left early on Thursday. And there's a story with that too. You know what's fun? Anyway, we left early on Thursday and just kind of tucked it all, you know, just put it all, put everything kind of behind us. Oh, thanks very kindly to Vernon in San Diego for jumping in on Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge, and thank you very kindly to Glenn in Rochester for jumping in on Shirley's Challenge. That means we got $80 to go. Yay. Thank you. No, I stopped up at the little gas station, convenience store, where I get the gas station pizza, but I didn't get any gas station pizza because I'm trying to be good to my, you know, innards. Instead, I got, you know, $25 worth of gas, or thought I was going to. And I was standing there pumping. And you know how it is when you get up close to having the tank full and the automatic shutoff goes ka-chunk. Well, instead, gasoline started running all over the place, and then it went ka-chunk. I was like, wow, I didn't think this was going to fill up so fast because it was only like $14.97. Then I looked at the ground, and the ground was covered in the stuff. And then I went to remove the nozzle from my automobile. And that's what I had in my hand, the nozzle. I hadn't noticed that the hose that connects to the gas pump nozzle was sort of just laying there, you know, on the ground. I walked to the door with the handle in my hand, stuck my head through the door of the little general and said, Houston, we have a problem. And they said, that's funny. He was here working on that very pump just today. Oh, was he now? And that's... that's how those little 4 little days away began. I pretty much missed, and you know what? I was real nervous driving away from there going, please don't spark. Don't make a spark. Don't anybody do, everybody lick your finger and touch something. But we got away from there, and it managed not to blow up, and I'm real happy about that, because it would have really sucked, because I like the people who work there and everything. Yeah. That's how it began, though. Oh, U.S. Postal Service. If you want to help, out with fundraising via the U.S. Postal Service, you can do checks and money orders to the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318 Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801, and just let me know if you're going to do that, so I can tell Boss Man Wayne. He'll be on the lookout, and that means he doesn't have to take his spider-proof gloves with him when he goes into the UPS store to pick up the mail. All he has to do is take a nice sturdy piece of rebar with him in case he runs into any Klansmen. Mm-hmm. So there's that. All right. It is, though. It is... No, I missed Hillary's acceptance speech. I saw some excerpts. And all right. So we got $30 to go on Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. $50 just rolled in from A. Nani Moose Lim. That's A. Nani Mouse's terrorist cousin. Jeez. Funny how that was going to be at the top of the More In Monday list. I got a feeling that More In Monday is going to be dominated from now until November. And dear God, if the Greens get their way from now until January 2021, with at least one Donald J. Trump millionaire who owns a mansion and a yacht, More In Monday nominations. I say if the Greens get their way, because essentially Jill Stein has declared that the only way to stop Donald Trump is to make him president. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but not much. And of course, sorry, multitasking. When people have like vast production teams on their radio program, you don't get stuff like that. No, I didn't leave out his Jets, Marty. Marty says you left out DeRumpf's Jets. I didn't leave it out at all. That's Marty, of all people, I would expect you to recognize that. My name is Elma J. Fudd, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht. Remember that? Where Elmer J. Fudd is in the mental institution? And it ends with Elmer J. Fudd swapping bodies and hopping away in a bunny suit saying, I may be a squeaky wabbit, but at least I'm not going to Alcatraz. Because it turns out that Elmer J. Fudd, millionaire, who owned a mansion and a yacht, was actually playing at crazy because he was up to his eyeballs in tax problems. You'll remember that this cartoon was probably made within 20 years of Al Capone being taken down, not for murder, not for mayhem, not for being, but for tax problems. So, my name is Elma J. Fudd, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht. That's what that's about. Okay? So, whenever you hear that, you can go, I'll bet it's on YouTube. I'll bet it is, just... hell, let's find out. Shall we? Cause I'll be honest. I think I'm blocking. Somebody's blocking. Yeah. Bugs Bunny, Elmer J. Fudd. Yeah. Somebody else has looked for it already. There it is. Hold on. Let's see if this is it. I'll bet it is. Interestingly,
yes, I am Elmer J. Fudd, millionaire.
Interestingly, it starts with a clip of a building that is labeled Elmer J. Fudd Building. A little bit like Trump Tower, anyone? And there's signs on the wall under the Elmer J. Fudd, E.J. Fudd Building, Elmer J. Fudd Mining, E.J. Fudd Enterprises, Elmer J. Fudd Amalgamated Oil Company, E.J. Fudd Investment. Sound like anybody we know?
J. Fudd?
Yes, I am Elmer J. Fudd, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht.
Special agent. And you'll have to come with me.
Oh, you see, gentlemen. Ours faced with a very serious problem.
See, he goes to a meeting of the board, Elmer J. Fudd does. He's got his morning coat and his tails on and everything, and he hops in like a rabbit, jumps up to the head of the table, the chair at the head of the table, and begins, you know, chewing on a carrot. Right.
Now, repeat. I am Elmer J. Fudd, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht. Glad to meet you, Mr. Fudd. No, you are Elmer J. Fudd. Oh, I am Elmer J. Fudd. Now, repeat after me. Mr. Fudd, you force me to use much stronger methods. If you will just swallow this capsule, I'm sure we will get much faster results.
Mm-hmm.
It's dead. And now, repeat after me. I am Elmer J. Fudd, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht. I am Elmer J. Fudd, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht. Again. I am Elmer J. Fudd, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht. Again. I am Elmer J. Fudd, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht.
Now, the point of that being that eventually Elmer J. Fudd goes hopping off into the forest, and he says, I may be a squeaky wabbit, but at least I'm not going to Alcatraz. And one begins to wonder if life is imitating art some more. And one wonders, because it takes a lot of either chutzpah or crazy to just openly attack the mother of a slain American soldier. Because that's what he did. At the Democratic Convention, Khazar Khan and his spouse stood up and talked about the service and the life that their son, an officer in the United States Army, born in Iraq, gave his life to prevent the men under his command from being blown into a million tiny pieces. I'm sorry, he was born in the UAE, not Iraq. But regardless, Mr. Khan said, under Donald J. Trump, millionaire, under his policy, my son would never have been allowed into this country, let alone allowed to join the United States military, where he saved the lives of the men in his command. Because what he did was not mandatory. It was a voluntary act of self-sacrifice. And Trump's only response was to say that, his wife didn't say anything, probably because she wasn't allowed to speak under Sharia law. Holy crap! Really? Really? And that's a special kind of moron. I mean, that's not your garden variety off the rack moron. That's restaurant quality, tailored to fit moron. And let's be clear, Donald J. Trump is a moron. And it's kind of unavoidable. And so a second nomination on this here Moran Monday. Goes out to former prisoner of war and current United States Senator John McCain. And John McCain issued a statement published by Politico in which he said, in recent days, Donald Trump disparaged a fallen soldier's parents. He has suggested that the likes of their son should not be allowed in the United States, to say nothing of entering its service. I cannot emphasize enough how deeply I disagree with Mr. Trump's statement. Well, more on that in a minute. I hope Americans understand that the remarks do not represent the views of our Republican Party, its officers, or candidates. And thus, the Moran Monday nomination for Senator John McCain. Yes, he is the nominee of your f***ing party, John. And thus, does indeed represent the views of your Republican Party, its officers, and its candidates, of which you are one, I do believe. Yeah, because among other things, among the things that pissed off the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini was the fact that Mr. Khan said apparently Trump does not understand the Constitution of the United States. And that's pretty clear. It's pretty clear he doesn't. And so, he went on to say that, by God, he had done plenty, thank you very much, for America, because he helped build the Vietnam War Memorial down in downtown Manhattan. This, of course, proved to be a revolting and wholesale lie. Because just about everything that Donald J. Trump, millionaire, who owns a mansion and a yacht, says is a wholesale lie. He never pays retail. But for John McCain, to say that Trump's statements don't represent the Republican Party, is he stoned or stupid? He is the party's nominee for president. He is the de facto head of the Republican Party right now. And if he's elected president, he will be the head of the Republican Party for the next 4 years. Maybe eight. Yeah, ponder that for a couple of minutes. It'll make your liver quiver. McCain went on and said, "My sons served today and I'm proud of them. My youngest served in the war that claimed Captain Khan's life as well as in Afghanistan. I want them to be proud of me. I want to do the right thing by them and their comrades." Humayun Khan did exactly that, and he did it for all the right reasons. This accomplished young man was not driven to service as a United States Army officer because he was compelled to by any material need. He was inspired as a young man by his reading of Thomas Jefferson, and he wanted to give back to the country that had taken him and his parents in as immigrants when he was only 2 years old. Captain Khan's death in Iraq on June 8, 2004 was a shining example of the valor and bravery inculcated into our military. When a suicide bomber accelerated his vehicle toward a facility with hundreds of American soldiers, Captain Khan ordered his subordinates away from the danger and then he ran toward it. It is time for Donald Trump to set the example for our country and the future of the Republican Party. While our party has bestowed upon him the nomination, it is not accompanied by unfettered license to defame those who are the best among us. Sorry, John, but it is a license to do exactly that. But in former days, your party kind of counted on its nominees to be more circumspect. You know, the racism was less overt in a Republican nominee, so that maybe, like, say, Bishop Willard Romney would go to a closed-door meeting among funders and feel like he could let his hair down a little bit and say, you know, there's 47% of America that's never going to vote for us because they're all moochers. Yeah, it's the Republican Party of hand signals low to the ground and dog whistles and coded speech. You're not supposed to just come right out and say, you know, what Trump said. And, yes, Steve from Georgia Stan asking, didn't Trump call McCain a failure for being shot down? No, he called him a loser. Loser. After which, McCain then, this past May, announced that, he endorsed Trump. He endorsed Donald J. Trump, millionaire, who owns a mansion and a yacht. Thank you, Herman. Herman letting me know in case you want to look it up. The name of that Bugs Bunny Elmer Fudd short is called Hairbrush. H-A-R-E, brush. There's so much that can be mined from Warner Brothers cartoons because human beings are too, especially right-wing politicians, are constantly busy making cartoons of themselves. Yeah, you remember how Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, almost mirrors Daffy Duck screaming, "I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm comfortably well off, I'm socially secure." Yeah, Trump. But that's a problem for McCain. He can't dance around this one. He can't get out of it. But see, he doesn't dare come out and say, no, I withdraw my endorsement. I'm not going to allow my name to sit to be even so much as printed next to the name of that walking fascist monstrosity, Donald Trump. Because if he did, all the knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing, floor-rolling, strychnine-swigging, serpent-handling, ninth birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, birchers, baggers, and booger eaters out in Arizona stand would throw his ass out in favor of someone even weirder who would gladly, joyfully get down on all fours and LARP all over the feet of Donald J. Trump, including making sure they get nice and deep in there between the toesies. Yeah. So he can't unendorse if he wants to go on being a senator. And John McCain has never, from the moment he entered adulthood, John McCain has never not drawn a check from the United States government. He would be... Well, in the golden years of his life, he would be in a place he didn't understand. So, yeah, I guess Trump is going to kind of own Moore and Monday for a while. I wish it were otherwise, but I suspect it is not. But John McCain has a kind of a, there's a sort of a pathology that attaches to him. You remember how after... in South Carolina in, what was it, 2000? When he was running against George W. Bush and Karl Rove just slimed him and sleazed him with the racist Republican voters in South Carolina. Do you remember how McCain, you know, because they sent around that mail, did you know that John McCain has a nigra baby? Remember that? And then after they slimed him real good, John McCain came crawling to George W. Bush and said, "You want to slime me again? You can, you know." Jim with a question. How many of Trump's sons have worn a uniform or shouldered a weapon or have served in any interest but their own? Please tell me, Bob. Thanks, Jim. Well, that's easy. None. Zero, zip, zilch, niente. Nada, nil. None. They serve their father's irrepressible lust for gold and power. You know, Humayun Khan died in a war that many of us protested and tried to stop, and remains to this day, if there is such a thing, a sin against all that is holy, that war does. But you don't take that out on the people who fought it. Among other things, there are too many people who are in the United States military today who are there because of the poverty draft. There are too many people from rural America and inner city America who join the military because it's the only way out. And that's kind of by design. I understand that. You don't take it out on the people who go and snap off a salute and say, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, when the order is given. The opprobrium that attaches to the Iraq War is an opprobrium that attaches to George W. Bush, to Count Dicula, and that decent human being's heart in his chest. Well, I mean, the decent human being's heart came later. What do you reckon they did with Count Dicula's first heart? Did they burn it in a black mass at midnight? Did they throw water on it and watch it sizzle and fizz and disappear? How do you get rid of toxic waste like Dick Cheney's first heart? But that's where the opprobrium attaches, on Paul Wolfowitz and Donald Rumfield and Kinda Sleazy Rice. Goes great with Kinda Sleazy Chicken and Colin Powell. Yeah. Yeah. Barkway in the chat room says, I went to school with kids like the Trumps. They never admit they're wrong or apologize. Not sure why that seems a 1% family value, but it is. Sparky suggests they got rid of Count Dicula's first heart in a red hazardous waste bag. Mm-hmm. And then, because it's War End Monday, we've also got Debategate. Scott in San Diego just reminded me of that. You think Trump will chicken out and refuse to participate in the debates? Also, will Gary Johnson and Jill Stein be included in the proceedings? The last part is easier to answer than the first. If either of those two third-party outliers make it to the debates, it'll be Gary Johnson. Jill Stein doesn't have a freaking chance. Will Trump chicken out? Here's the thing. It worked, the pageants, and they were not debates, but the pageants, the Republican pageants worked for Trump because it was a group dynamic in which he could just fill both hands with his Trumpansy poo and fling it all over the place. Not so in a one-on-one, because there's no and he can only yell, Crooked Hillary! You know, with his little dick finger in the air, so many times. As Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, notes, Trumple Thinskin is quick with the insults and uncomfortable with the facts. Amen to that. In order to reach the debates, they have to, third-party outliers and dead-enders have to achieve 15% approval in the polls. And there ain't no way, not now, no how, never, that the increasingly bizarre Jill Stein is going to reach that threshold. Yeah, it's 15%. By the way, Carol pointing out, Count Dicula never had a heart. There was nothing to transplant. It was an implant. I guess until then he'd just been feeding off the constant flow of blood from the corpses, whose blood he sucked out of them through a straw. He said, I got a
memo from the NFL agreeing with me. Crooked Hillary's trying to rig the debates, just like they did with Bernie.
See, there are three debates and one vice presidential debate, and they tend to, and a couple of them fall on Sundays, and the No Fun League plays its football in the fall on Sundays, and so Donald J. Trump, millionaire, who owns a mansion and a yacht, says that they're trying to rig the debates, putting it up against an NFL game. Yeah, like you want people to watch you debate Hillary Clinton. Okay. Sure.
And I got a letter from the NFL saying so.
The NFL was quick to point out that no, by God, no, not know how, not know never, had they sent any letter about any debates to Donald J. Trump, millionaire who owns a mansion and a yacht. So that was, you know, another lie. They go on and on and on and on. I mean, if Donald J. Trump, millionaire who owns a mansion and a yacht, were to tell me that that the sky was blue, I would run to the window and look and expect polka dots. Because the truth ain't in him. Now, he also went, yesterday morning, he went on ABC's This Week with George Snuffleupagus. And answered questions about how he damn near single-handedly built that Vietnam War Memorial in Manhattan. I was very responsible, along with a group of people, for getting the Vietnam Memorial built in downtown Manhattan, which to this day people thank me for. Because they do. He just goes down the street and people wave. Thank you, Donald, for building the Vietnam War Memorial in Manhattan. Thank you, Donald. Oh, Donald, we love you, Donald. Except they don't. Because, see, they kind of fact-checked that. The Washington Post had reported on this eons ago. One official of the Vietnam Commission who has attended all the meetings maintains Trump has been to only two or three out of 20 meetings. This was confirmed by another member of the commission. The first time he attended a meeting was to launch the commission, one source says, and the second was when he arrived with a reporter who was profiling him. Yeah. And by the way, in case you're wondering, he described the reason he brought up the Vietnam War Memorial. It was as an example of a sacrifice he has made for his country. Oh, really? And along the way, I think we are, it's incumbent upon us to note that, you know, maybe, just maybe, the for-profit media are finally beginning to do a little bit of their job and questioning some of the seemingly inexhaustible stream of unmitigated bullshit that, what's that word again? Trumple thin skin is putting out there. Yeah. He's becoming, somewhat like the, like the lyric to the song, "Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology." He don't know. He don't know shit. And the for-profit media are beginning to maybe try to walk back some of their fawning that led to this whole problem in the first place. But not everybody recognizes the sliming of the Khan family as the noxious, hateful. Well, I mean, John Oliver just flat out called him a fucking asshole, and he's right. But the stupid, oh my God. Over there on This Week with George Snuffleupagus, he got into a little geography and a little global politics, you know, about the guy who owns him, Vladimir Putin. Because he's owned. At this point in time, I think it's safe to say that Donald Trump it might very well be violating the law by not registering the government as an agent for a foreign power. Arthur in the chat room says, "Come on, Bob. Trump's made some sacrifice for the armed services, war effort, veterans. He's had to talk about it. Isn't that suffering enough?" Yeah, I remember that time when we had to discuss. Yeah, right. Along the same lines, Steve in New York says, "Doesn't his sacrifice sound an awful lot like Willard saying his kids were serving the country by working on his campaign?" What is it about the 1%? Well, anything that the 1% or their little gits do that they don't necessarily just ache, yearn, and want to do, well, that's a sacrifice. So, at 6 minutes before the hour, get the hockey puck, would you please?
Why did you soften the GOP platform on Ukraine?
I wasn't involved in that. Honestly, I was not involved. Yeah, I was not involved in that. I'd have to take a look at it, but I was not involved.
Do you know what they did?
They softened it, I heard, but I was not involved.
They took away the part of the platform calling for provision of lethal weapons to Ukraine to defend themselves. Why is that a good idea?
I have my own ideas. He's not going into Ukraine, okay? Just so you understand. He's not going to go into Ukraine. All right, you can mark it down, you can put it down, you can take it anywhere
you want.
Well,
he's already there, isn't he?
Okay.
Oh, the for-profit media superstars have to be, they have to be so circumspect. Oh, he's not going into Ukraine. He's not going to, you can mark it down. He's not going to Ukraine. George Snuffleupagus says, oh, he's already there, isn't he? You can mark it down, you can put it down, you can take it anywhere you want. Mm-hmm. Yes. Anywhere you want. It's a beautiful thing. Well, I mean, stupidity of this sort is a kind of an art form. And he's working in the finest marble. He really, really is. Well, he's already there, isn't he? Well, yeah, he is. There's that whole Crimea thing, and
Well, he's there in a certain way, but I'm not there. You have Obama there, and frankly, that.
Huh? What's Edith? Huh? He's there. I'm not there. Well, did he ask you if you were there? I mean, he's there in a certain way. This guy hasn't read the Constitution. He doesn't know the Constitution. He doesn't know history. He doesn't know geography. He doesn't even know what's happening in the world today. He just knows it's huge.
Oh. Part of the world is a mess under Obama with all the strength that you're talking about and all of the power of NATO and all of this. In the meantime, he's going away. He takes Crimea. He's sort of, I mean...
But you said you might recognize that.
I'm going to take a look at it. But, you know, the people of Crimea, from what I've heard, would rather be with Russia than where they were. And you have to look at that also. Now, that was under, just so you understand, that was done under Obama's administration.
Yeah, it was. It was done under Obama's administration. The Kenyan Muslim usurper wizard got inside Vladimir Putin's head and compelled him. The power of Obama compels you. The power of Obama. Wait. The power of Obama compels you. Compels you. Compels. Pels. Pels. Pels you. And made Vladimir Putin... invade Crimea. Texas Betsy said, Trump reminds me of the way seventh graders answer questions about books they haven't read. Which, in Donald Trump's case, is, you know, all of them. But wasn't that the Palin answer to what newspapers do you read? All of them! Yep, every morning. Every morning. Gets up, Sarah Palin does, and reads the... Johnson City, Tennessee, Morning Glory and Battle Cry of Freedom and the Dubuque Moral Volcano. Sure she does. But anyway, do continue.
As far as the Ukraine is concerned, it's a mess. And that's under the Obama's administration with his strong ties to NATO. So with all of these strong ties to NATO, Ukraine is a mess. Crimea has been taken. Don't blame Donald Trump for that.
No, blame NATO for that. With these strong ties to NATO, Like NATO is a, you know, bad thing. Even though it did manage to keep the balance of terror such that we didn't toast the planet with an all-out nuclear war during the Cold War. It's getting to the point where the English language defies my ability
to describe, and I think we'd better start doing it, how stupid this man is. How really, truly, no kidding, absolutely dumb. And I mean that. How dumb Donald J. Trump is. It's not that I disagree with his policy positions. I mean, I do. But it's the stupid that's terrifying. And I do mean terrifying. Oh, and by the way, so here endeth the filibobster. Although we got more stuff. Oh, God, we got more stuff. But thank you very kindly to Jay and to Reinhard for knocking down the remainder of Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. Thank you very kindly. That is a very, very good thing. And if you want to keep pecking away, you're more than welcome to. You know, I say we try to raise at least $200 a night. Well, if we raise more, that's better, because there will inevitably be down the road that evening when we don't at all, they happen. So, and then we wind up in all, so, you know, if you want to keep it rolling, please feel free. And thank you very, very, very much to A. Nani Muslim and to Reinhard and to Vernon and to Jay. And Glenn, thanks very much indeed. Well, I tell you what, before we go to the break, let's take one quick call over on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Over on the stress line.
That's me, I hear.
Hey, welcome to the program. Over on the stress line.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Edward. I thought that was you.
Are you there?
Yes, I am. Go ahead, Edward.
This is Edward in Dallas.
Yes. Go ahead.
Well, I think I lost you.
No, I'm still... No, you didn't lose
me. One or the other.
No, we're still here. I'm still here. You go ahead. It works better...
Hello?
Yeah, it works better if you turn off the speakerphone and use the phone, you know, regular.
Well...
You're connected, Edward. Go ahead.
Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, well, good. This is Edward in Dallas.
Uh-huh.
Well, I can hardly hear you. There's a lot of static on the line.
Well, we're hearing you just fine. You go right ahead.
I can't even understand you. Maybe.
We are hearing you just fine. You go right ahead.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Oh, I was listening to the news, and this lady was interviewing Nikita Khrushchev's daughter, and she asked this daughter of Nikita Khrushchev, Khrushcheva. I guess her name is, anyway, about what the relationship between Trump and Putin was. And she said, Trump is kissing Putin over various parts of Putin's body, which I thought was rather unusual.
Well, I think she's displaying a
an admirable degree of decorum.
Yeah, I thought that was a very elegant way to put it. I'm going to have to remember that.
Right. He's kissing Putin in places we don't talk about in public.
Right. Well, I'll hang up because I'm having a bad time hearing you. I'm glad you're hearing me okay. But anyway, I wanted to call and tell you what Nikita Khrushchev's daughter said.
Well put on her part. Good to hear from you, Edward. Take care.
I certainly will.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. My buddy Edward calling from Dallas. With that having done, we will take we'll take a quick phone call. Take a quick break. That was a quick phone call. And just a reminder, the speakerphone. When you try to call the program, speakerphones are not a good idea because they will kind of wreck your audio. So, you know, that. And so, yeah, a break and then more. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. If you want to get involved with the program, 304-574-8178 or 304-663-4676. And from anywhere on the planet, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. It's just that easy.
TV. And it's worse when
somehow or another, that seemed kind of appropriate. Run Straight Down. That was, of course, Warren Zevon, the late great, from his 1989 album, Transverse City. Not one of the better known ones, but a damn good album, any way you slice it. So let's see here. Let's run over a whole lot more stuff, but let's run over real quick and talk to Jim. What's happening, Jim?
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm here. You know, a few days off, kind of catch your breath, you know, and then you got to jump back into the swamp.
Well, there it is. Glad you had a good reunion with family with all your comestibles and edibles. That's great.
That's right, tasty.
In my regards to Edward and his friend, I hope they're doing well. And I'm glad he mentioned that book by Stalin's daughter. And basically, I believe that's the only one that was left. Remember the book, 20 Letters to a Friend?
Yeah, but he was talking about Khrushchev's daughter.
Oh, excuse me, I must have misheard. Well,
yeah, Khrushchev's daughter was interviewed and said that she was asked about the relationship between Trump and Putin, and she said that Trump was kissing Putin in many places.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure he is. Absolutely. Pardon my mistake about that. I just heard that EVA, and I thought it was Svetlana, and I haven't heard the other. But I'll tell you, Mr. Trump, and I put this on my Facebook, and I don't care who likes it or who doesn't like it. I've called that man a cad, a son of a bitch, and every other name I can possibly summon, a poltroon. And, you know, he is one of the most despicable people I've ever encountered vis-a-vis the public media and what he and anything else he's done. I mean, he took that whole thing that he used with the public media by throwing out this, that, and the other, and it sounded like a Nazi party beer hall meeting. That's exactly what it sounded like.
I can't disagree with you.
And the
shameful attacks, one on a dead veteran, and on that dead veteran. I mean, it used to be, Jim, that there was a third rail in American politics. There actually did. It was said that there were two or three of them.
Ain't no more.
They're all gone, aren't they?
Sure have. Social Security, human decency, and truthfulness.
How about shitting on veterans and their families?
Oh, well, that goes without saying, because the only thing they mean to him is nothing.
Well, yes, it should, you know, I suspect there will be more than a few Trump voters in the American military. I do, okay?
Oh, yeah.
But if I had anyone in the military, I would be very scared, because to Donald Trump, they are not, as the phrase was used at the Democratic National Convention, they are not a precious resource.
Oh, no.
They are toys to be played with and their bones thrown away when they are no longer useful to Donald Trump.
They are as much use to Donald Trump as were the steerage passengers on the RMS Titanic. I saw an 11-part series this weekend on, it's called Titanic Blood and Steel. It's not a so-called documentary, but it is basically an explanation of the types of treatment that were given to those people who put that shit together, the types of material used, the way the workers were treated, and the decision of the board of the White Star Line, oh no, we've got to do it on the cheap. We can't use the good coal. We can't use right steel. We can't use right rivets. We can't use this, that, and the other. And we sure as hell can't put any more lifeboats on the ship, because, number one, it would impede the promenade deck for the 1% first class passengers, or it would make the silhouette of the ship look bizarre. And that's exactly the same attitude that was held by those people back then, their 1%, that's being reinstituted upon us today. The destruction of the middle class, the ill-defined suffering of the working poor, and they just don't give a flying fuck.
No, they don't. No, they don't. And to be fair, that's just Republican politics. That's longstanding. Trump didn't bring that along. That's how the Republican Party has been for ever and anon. I mean, that's Milton Friedman, okay?
Well, I dare say that this attitude and the teachings of Friedman had a great deal to do upon the attitude of this man. And I don't call him stupid, Bob. I call him malicious. I call him crazy because he says all these crazy things with which he has to repudiate and then try to drop back on and try to re-explain in his own bizarre thought processes. I don't know where his mind is, but he is more dangerous than stupid. I don't think he's stupid at all. I think he's, like I said before, he is very, very crafty, very adept in how to screw over anybody who can, who gets in his way.
Okay, I'll go that far with you. He's got a talent for skullduggery. He has the wits of a sneak thief or a cut purse. How's that? But the man probably couldn't find Ukraine on a map, or his ass with both hands, with their tiny little fingers.
Maybe not unless he has some business connection over there. And, of course, you know, it would behoove him in his interest to pursue the policies that are advocated by Mr. Putin and other people who would like to do a lot of bad things over there. I think so.
Well, he's in hock to him, Jim. The banks in the United States won't touch him, because they know that he'll screw them.
Oh yeah, and if you get in his way, he's got a bank of lawyers up there that's going to keep you tied up until hell freezes over, and he eventually will win by the very weight of his own, you know, corporate structures that protect his interests. And his legal interests, that's the thing. You know, he even admitted such. He said, you know, hey, oh, I'm going to just keep this going until I finally win. That's what he said.
He just fights a war of attrition. But the thing is that doesn't work in global politics. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you or anybody else, Jim, that I think Hillary Clinton is the neatest thing since sliced bread, because I don't. But that's who we get to oppose him. And there is some part of me that thinks that we really are, and our buddy Frank sent me the video of it again. Nathan Lane reprising his role in The Producers, only with Donald Trump instead of Springtime for Hitler. And there's a part of me that thinks that's what we're watching. We are watching Hillary Clinton run against the only candidate that it was determined that she could beat. And I fear very much that hers is a training wheels candidacy.
Well, I prefer her to him. And as far as Jill Stein is concerned, and trying to get the Green Party to pull another 2,000, to hell with her.
Well, as our buddy Horst pointed out, the Green Party crested in 2000. There's not going to be any 15% for Jill Stein. The only thing that Jill Stein might conceivably do is suck off enough votes that she could put Trump in office by virtue of conniving people in so-called battleground states like Florida and Ohio to vote for her.
Then she is just as dangerous in 2016 as Nader was in 2000, and the results were the same, plus a little help by one justice on the Supreme Court that stopped Al Gore's votes from being recounted. The results are the same.
Right, and the argument out there, Jim, is that, and I mean, she's making it. Yeah, like I said, I'm paraphrasing it, but the only way to stop Donald Trump is by making Donald Trump president. And I'm damned if I can figure that out. But there's, you know, there's other stuff out there, too. Maybe I'll go into them here in the coming hour.
Okay, I will allow you to explain that to me, because I guess I'm no longer smart enough to figure some of this stuff out.
Well,
I've seen so much of this bullshit and so much of these terrible things that have placed bad people in positions of authority to lead our country that we are in one hell of a mess.
Well, Jim, one of the fundamental problems that we have, and it is a big problem, and it's got some legs, is this notion that Trump is as bad as Hillary and Hillary is as bad as Trump. That is simply not true.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, you know, I'll prefer Hillary anything to anything as far as Trump is concerned. I mean, at least Hillary has come out in her platform to support Obamacare and, you know, the extension and or the maintenance of Medicaid to people who can afford no other health insurance. At least she has come right out, and she made a magnificent speech at the end of the convention. I listened to every bit of it, and I compared what she said to what he said, and I'll have to take Mrs. Secretary Dr. Clinton to Trump any day or any other candidate. They're all we got, and that's what we've got to deal with. So we may as well get down on it. If you have to swallow your pride or whatever to vote for Hillary Clinton, you best do so, because I think it will be in your better interest.
Possibly, Jim.
I mean, you know, at least the woman says it. She does have experience. She made mistakes when she was Secretary of State. Maybe she didn't designate the classified emails that were transmitted through her. People make mistakes in public office. I've seen it happen. I've been with the government. I understand how this can happen. But you correct them, you move on, and I can guarantee you one thing. She'll never make that mistake again.
No. My fear is that she will make a different mistake. I don't know if... And you know, Jim, the convention was kind of rife with them. Stupid little seventh grade antics like turning the lights off over delegations that were chanting things like "No more war." I mean, really, that's seventh grade.
I didn't notice that. I mean, the lights, you know, they
did that, or the really really tone deaf, and I'll probably get emails. Hey, what do you mean? The tone deaf choice to turn right around and make Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who is just toxic, okay? She just is. Make her the unofficial campaign chair of the Hillary campaign.
Well, she made a mistake there, and I think that mistake has been corrected. That's for damn sure.
Well, no, it hasn't been. They got rid of Debbie Wasserman Schultz at the DNC, and then, Jim, the Hillary campaign turned around and boosted her as honorary campaign chair of the Hillary campaign. That's what I'm saying. That was tone deaf. That was dumb.
That is Schultz's current position?
Yeah.
Well, I was told
she was no sooner gone as head of the DNC than the Clinton campaign. You know, damn.
Well, Bob, I'm sorry. Maybe I misunderstood things, but what I saw, that she was basically given orders not to allow the sun to set on her ass in Philadelphia.
Right, and then they turned around and said the I'm with her campaign proudly welcomes Debbie Wasserman Schultz as our honorary campaign chair.
I don't know.
There's some stuff with politics, and it's not always nice. And sometimes you go to somebody who's become toxic and you go, listen, I love you. You're still on the Christmas card list. We're still going to have dinner and everything. But I can't be seen around you for a while.
Well, I mean, to make her honorary chair doesn't exactly tell me that. I mean,
right, it doesn't. That's what I'm saying. It was tone deaf. It was dumb. It was stupid.
I mean, I would tell that woman, if I were Clinton, to get my, you know, goodbye. You know, so long.
Yeah, but she did the work of a good soldier. And then she threw herself on her sword, and this is her honorarium, I suppose.
Well, I don't think I would have been that gracious to Debbie Wasserman Schultz, particularly with some of the stunts she pulled. And, you know, it's just really, it's really bad. And, you know, as far as Trump is concerned, I need not repeat myself, and I'm not going to take any more of your time. But I'll tell you one thing. That man ain't stupid. He is absolutely malicious. He is absolutely determined to impose his will upon anyone he can. And you've got people like the Speaker of the House, Eddie Munster, and so many others. They've got what they have created, along with Tea Party and Citizens United and people like this. They have created a golem, a Frankenstein monster, and they don't know really what to do with him. Because he's got enough people following him that just one word, and they sit before him and listen to him like postulants awaiting the host in a mass. Well, if he says it, it's got to be right, and they're just trying to give him a bad or a bum deal.
Well, it does not speak well of the Republican Party that, in the name of access to power, John McCain has just taken a big steamer on his entire career. He won't pull his endorsement, even after Trump slimed. No, he didn't make a mistake, Jim. He's afraid of the teabaggers and the Trumpanzees in Arizona.
Good God, hasn't he been there long enough? Do they have a...
No, because he has nothing... No, Jim, because there's nothing else to John McCain if he's not a senator.
Well, let me ask you, don't they have a decent candidate who is opposing him in Arizona?
No, not on the Republican side. On the Democratic side, there's probably, you know, there's... But the Democrat doesn't have a snowball's chance in August in hell. Arizona's one great big teabag and wasteland. Our Arizona listeners can tell you that.
Well, that is indeed very regrettable.
I agree, but I mean...
You know, when I get upset like this, I had a speech impediment when I was a child, and sometimes when I really get angry and really get upset, it returns.
I can understand why it would. And this is... I mean... If it's going to return, this would be the time for it, Jim, because this is a deeply upsetting... I mean, do you realize that Roger Stone, one of Trump's buddies, has gone so far as to say that the father of Captain Khan is a Muslim Brotherhood agent?
No, I haven't heard that.
Traced to the same radical Muslim group as Huma Abedin, who isn't, and tied to Saudi jihadis.
When I saw
There's
that,
no shame left, Jim.
When I saw that couple mount the podium of the Democratic convention, I believe it was Thursday night, or it may have been the night before, and they discussed exactly the sacrifice their son had made and their appreciation of being allowed into this country and appreciated, and the threat that Donald Trump was to everything really this country stands for. And then that bastard gets up there and makes comments back and forth to them and has the stupidity, not stupidity, but his own cunningness and maliciousness. Now, I'm not going to use stupidity. I will use the word malicious to excoriate them. God damn him.
And may there be a God to do the damning, Jim. And you and I, you know, you and I kind of disagree on that. But
okay, listen, I'm going to let you talk to somebody else.
But I understand where you're coming from. Jim, you have a good evening.
Good night.
Bye now. Oh, let's see. Couple of things to share. Things that I mentioned along the way. Michael in Madison shared something with me. That was just, it blew my mind. Here, let me find the email so I won't just screw it up. Michael sent me an email saying, remember Colin Malloy of Bundy Erotic Fanfic? Because we did. We had fun with Bundy, hashtag Bundy Erotic Fanfic. Looks like he's at it again. Colin Malloy is from a band called The Decemberists. This time in a Twitter war with Jill Stein, it should be noted that Colin Malloy's son, Hank, is autistic. Nonetheless, as if that word is even appropriate, he is staunchly anti-vaxxer. The most hipster thing I can say is that I've been seeing Colin's band, who have since been immortalized on The Simpsons, since they were playing dive bars. It's true enough, though. I've never been more proud to be a fan. So here's how it goes. I was a little confused, Michael says, about the chronology of events leading to Dr. Jill Stein's Decembrexit. But it appears to be as follows. A, on Friday, Colin Malloy started posting about the anti-vax views of Trump, Stein, and Johnson, stuff like this. To be fair, Johnson and Stein seem to couch their anti-vax beliefs in anti-government mandate and scientific skepticism talk, but if the shoe fits. He also posted an article about Stein's refusal to answer questions on the topic directly. B, for some reason, at Dr. Jill Stein started following Colin Malloy yesterday. He posted a picture of the notification he received with the caption, okay. C, immediately Colin asks her, hey, at Dr. Jill Stein, do you believe vaccines cause autism? D, several hours later, Colin posts that Stein has not answered his question. Eventually, Stein answers the question, sort of, deletes her tweet, then 5 minutes later, reposts the tweet using different language, clearly crafted to dog whistle to anti-vaxxers. Colin sees the second version and states that it is not enough. Later, another Twitter user exposes her original deleted tweet, presumably deleted so as not to upset the anti-vaxxers, and Colin shares it. It starts out as a statement that she starts out saying there is no evidence that autism is caused by vaccines. Let's support autistic people. Okay. Then she deletes that because that's not going to play with the anti-vaxxers. And she changes it to, I'm not aware of evidence, blah, blah, blah. Okay? Weaseling from jump, as it were. To which, and this is precious. To which Colin Malloy responded, there's no evidence that Thin Lizzy sucks. Oh, fuck. I mean, I'm not aware of any evidence that Thin Lizzy sucks. And, there's no reason to change that tweet unless you're trying to, weasel your way in and keep some weasel room with, the weirdos, the anti-vaxxers. But it gets weirder. So, Michael Stone over at Pathos found video from March. March? Yep, March. Where Jill Stein was talking to a group. And a woman in the audience asks her, or tells her, you know, I'm a kindergarten teacher, and I'm concerned about children being given electronic devices with screens to learn from at a young age. Okay, I can see a kindergarten teacher having that position. That, you know, as we transition from dead tree books to electronic devices, I understand that. To which Jill Stein then says, yeah, it's bad for growing kids to spend too much time glued to screens or TVs or computers. Too much non-human interaction has been shown to negatively affect children's cognition, their ability to socialize and communicate with others. Yep. Go outside and play, kids. No problem. So then the teacher says, what about the wireless? You know, Wi-Fi. To which Jill Stein responds, we should not be exposing especially kids' brains to that. You know, we don't follow that issue in this country, but in Europe where they do, they have good precautions around wireless. Maybe not good enough because it's very hard to study this stuff. We make guinea pigs out of whole populations, and then we discover how many die. And this is like the paradigm for how healthcare works in this country, and it's outrageous. Now, meanwhile, the World Health Organization, as far back as 10 years ago, among other things, said there is no electromagnetic fields like wireless signals are of no risk to human health. Here's the quote from the World Health Organization. The body absorbs up to 5 times more of the signal from FM radio and television than from base stations. From all evidence accumulated so far, no adverse short or long-term health effects have been shown to occur from the RF radio frequency signals produced by base stations. Since wireless networks produce generally lower RF signals than base stations, no adverse health effects are expected from exposure to them. Anything. I'll probably vote for a third-party gubernatorial candidate in West Virginia, but I won't if she starts spouting stupidity like this. Because I got to draw the line. It's stupid. I mean, really? So there's that. Now, and Marty says, you're trusting the WHO. Why? Ooh, because science? I don't know.
Just one sec here. Checking things along the way and whatnot. All right, and then this. And this is going to be, I warn you in advance, this is going to be unpleasant. But this is This is a note I got earlier this morning, or, well, yesterday. Came in while I was not connected to the brain-eating Wi-Fi. So I didn't see it until earlier today. And again, there is an aspect of stir in the pot. Ron, in the squishy and humid north, I presume, says Bob to the fourth power. What about the possibility that exposure to all those radio waves is what tipped the right wing and the fundies over to the dark side? Well, you know, see, I don't think it was the waves themselves, Ron. I think it was the content of the waves. To wit, Flush Flimball, Fox News, Hannity, Savage, Beck, Ingram, Brian Fisher, what have you. This is a rather long note from Todd in Maryland. Todd says, so bust be it. Were you surprised by the West Virginia delegation floor count? I told you that would happen if you remember the last message I sent you. I got a lot of mail, Todd. I don't remember that. I do know that, and again, there's a lot of unadmirable stuff from the coming out of the machinations of the Democratic Party at the convention. It was unnecessary, and it was gross. But somewhere along the way, the millionaire smart class determined that it was better if Hillary won, counting the superdelegates in with the pledged delegates, and monkeying with the results to make it look like she was overwhelmed than it was to make it look like the close race it was. She could have won on pledged delegates alone. You realize that. But that still would have made a lot of people unhappy. And, you know, I suppose Hillary wanted to look like the overwhelming choice, which, you know, she wasn't. Sometimes, you know what? Maybe it's because they don't understand sporting analogies. Maybe Hillary doesn't understand that it's what goes up in the W column versus the L column that matters in the end. If you win the seventh game of the World Series 1-0, you win the World Series. But if you look at the way the Democratic National Convention went, it becomes apparent that Hillary wanted to win 152-0. And so the DNC went along with her. Are there problems with the DNC? Yes, there are problems with the DNC. Are the problems with the DNC ever going to be solved by standing out in the weeds? No. Then a question. Why? I don't know how many times I have to answer this, but I'm going to answer it again. Why did you delete the July 19th show? Was the angry Indian right? No, I didn't delete the July 19th show. The July 19th show never went up. And you know why? Because it was terrible, god-awful, bad radio. There have been times that I have not posted other programs because the internet went out and there was nothing, that there was no content. This is the same sort of thing. If it had been nothing but a 10 kilohertz tone, I wouldn't have put it up either. There was no value in it. So that's the answer to that. Todd continues and says, this has been a civil war with us progressive ex-Democrats. I'm sorry, Todd continues, that your state, West Virginia, Medicare, no, it's not Medicare. Medicare is a federal program.
Your state, West Virginia, Medicaid expansion program is at risk. And thoughts and prayers, not from the Wednesday crowd. I get that. He says he's sorry that Medicaid will be at risk in West Virginia if Trump wins. Well, it's not just that Medicaid in West Virginia will be at risk if Trump wins. Medicaid in Kentucky will be at risk. Medicaid in New York, in California, in Oregon, in Washington, in Minnesota, in every state, in Ohio, in every state that accepted the Medicaid expansion within the parameters expressed by the Supreme Court and John Roberts in the Affordable Care Act decision, will be at risk because the Republican Party and Donald Trump, and the Republican Party has majorities in both houses of Congress and has passed bill after bill after bill after bill to repeal the entirety of, not just the entirety of the Affordable Care Act. Well, with a majority, they'll be able to do it, and Trump will gladly sign it. And so millions and millions and millions and millions of Americans will be out of health care. Now, individually, my health care is at risk in West Virginia, depending on the outcome of the legislative and gubernatorial races. That's a different story. But after saying he's sorry that Medicaid expansion is at risk in West Virginia, and I add in the entire nation that has it, Todd says, but think of this, if you, and all caps, lame-ass progressives fought harder for a more comprehensive public option in 2009, state Medicare participation, again, states don't participate in Medicare, it's Medicaid, Medicare is a federal program. State Medicaid participation, I'm inserting Medicaid there, would not be an issue for you and your family. That may be or that may not be. It might not have passed at all. And then again, if you're going to make that same argument, you can also argue that if only the United States had gone after universal single-payer health care in the ashes of World War II, like we helped Europe to do, and Japan, you know, we wouldn't have this problem. Or that, you know, if Eisenhower hadn't declared that universal single-payer health care was communism and the Republican Congress hadn't agreed, we wouldn't have this problem. Or you could say, if Lyndon Johnson had not gotten himself mired down in Vietnam and had pulled out like John F. Kennedy wanted to, he would have been able to run for re-election in 1968 and fulfill his dream of continuing to lower the Medicare access age, which was the plan in the first place, leading to eventual full universal coverage of the American people. But it's you lame-ass progressives' fault because you didn't, I don't know what, set fire to yourself. I don't know. Todd says, I don't want a pony, for I have one, but why is it that everyone does not deserve one? Gee, Bob, you discounted everything us real progressives thought. Well, I kind of take issue with the idea of you describing yourself as a real progressive and me not, just because you get the idea. Quick note. Carol says, I'm listening to you wirelessly. Are you eating my brains, Bob? Brains. Gee, Bob, you discounted everything us real progressives thought, and don't give me that bullshit Secretary Clinton was not at least in technical contravention of federal codes and other government military contractors civilian employees have actually gone to jail for. Well, they haven't gone to jail for exactly what she did or didn't do. And we do still have a criminal code. And yeah, you know, the criminal code does apply to everybody, and that is a specific intent crime. I know that may be a tough concept to get, but you have got to actually, honest to goodness, no kidding, mean to do what you're doing in order for criminal liability to attach. So the lock her up chants and the Hillary for prison t-shirts are not unreasoned. okay, maybe they're not unreasoned, but they're still wrong. Well, okay, hey, let's take that even further back. Here's one from Ron in the far unfrozen north. Let's take it back further than the ashes of World War II. You could say that if what is now Canada had not pulled back from sacking Baltimore and Washington in 1812 to 1814, the U.S. would now enjoy the same health care Canadians enjoy. Ta-da! G. Bob, how many times have you called for international tribunals for Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Rice et al.? You wanted them in the dock, tried in a Nuremberg fashion, and dispatched to the gallows. I don't think I ever said I wanted them dispatched to the gallows. I wanted them tried. I still want them tried. Because they started a war of choice. The authorization for use of military force did, in fact, pass the Congress, and there were a lot of misguided votes, including Hillary Clinton's, in favor of it. And I think they should have known better. And I think it will be a rotting mackerel around every one of them's neck forevermore. But it is not the actual same thing as starting the war. And that's, you know, that's just factual analysis. Todd continues and says, all we wanted was fair presentation of the well-documented facts. By whom? You got the presentation by the director of the FBI, who heads the Criminal Investigation Division of the entire United States. Yes, it looked terrible what Janet Lynch did. Or Janet Lynch. Yeah. Not Janet Lynch. The names all run together after a while. Loretta Lynch, sorry. I don't know why. I gotta get on back, Loretta, with your high-heeled sneakers and your low-neck sweater. Loretta Lynch. Get on back, Loretta. Yeah, Loretta. Loretta. I don't know why Loretta. I don't know why I want to make her a Janet. Maybe Janet Yellen. I don't know. And Todd says, don't believe me, there's a cottage legal industry forming in the Beltway, defending ex-gov and contractors whom lost pay, promotion, security clearance, and in some cases criminal charges and or sanctions. I don't think that's forming. I think that's long-standing. There's a reason there's so damn many lawyers in Washington, D.C., because there's a lot of ways to violate the federal law when you're doing business with the federal government. And Bob, you call all of us real conspiracy theorists when we questioned the Democratic primary for Iowa and the coin tosses to California with the millions of the uncounted provisional ballots. No, I didn't call you conspiracy theorists. You're listening to a different program. Yeah, maybe it was Janet Reno. But it's Loretta Lynch. Yeah, I get it. And this is where it gets kind of nasty. And I don't want anybody to take personal offense. Well, you're free to take whatever you want. I mean, just like you're free to go and vote for Jill Stein or do anything. I mean, here in West Virginia, there's no point in voting for Hillary. This state is going to fail its quadrennial IQ test, and it is going to fail it in epic fashion. Casting votes for Trump. Because Trump's going to make the coal happen in the ground some more for us. Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Georgia, any of those blood red states where there's not a rat's chance in hell of Hillary ever winning so much as an election for dog catcher. Vote Trump. Vote Trump. Vote Stein. Vote Gary Johnson. Who gives a damn? Because the outcome is predetermined. Frustrating, but true. Um. Todd writes, but where was Scott in San Diego, Tracy in the Valley, and Rick not that billable who basically regurgitates what he heard on the Norman Goldman show? I don't even know what that means, except it's just a matter of being, you know, deliberately nasty. And we gave the 2,700 each of my partners, 19 and their spouses, to the Sanders campaign. Fuck it, $50,000. We were burned. Even if we sponsored a year of the horn, your show is leading from behind. Love the family, but I have two beefs. Either locally try to change the respective stand state or move the fuck to a blue state. This is the one that gets under my skin. People do try in their respective stand states. And when they try in their respective stand states, they face a hell of a lot greater risk than doing anything progressive in a blue state. It takes a hell of a lot of courage to stand up in a stand state. Because there is blowback. There are repercussions. I know this personally. I know people who know it personally. And move to a blue state. That's the one. That's the one right there. How? I've got a house here in a stand state. It ain't much, but it's mine. Now, I don't know how I'm going to just go on this this diaspora to a blue state. Because I don't know anybody giving away free land. I mean, this ain't the Sooner Rush. Would I go somewhere else if I could? I might. But just pack up bag and baggage because this state where, you know, 9 generations of my family have roots, just pack up bag and baggage and boogie. Might be nice to live somewhere else. But you really need a plan before you hit the bolt hole. I can tell you a lot of places that you know, I would not care to live. And, you know, well, that's just, you know. So, you know, there's a presumption here that people, Todd presumes no one's fighting, trying locally. Well, we are. And we try to drag a few more people along with us. But we also live in our respective realities. The state is going to go, it'll be a miracle. It'll be a miracle if Hillary Clinton gets 20%. Of the vote in November in West Virginia. Same thing goes for Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, all the other stand states. There's a lot of reasons for that. I got a story in the stack here about how a county in Georgia is sending sheriff's deputies to the homes of black folks to insist that they appear in order to prove that they are really entitled to vote. Now, a sheriff's deputy comes to your house with a summons. That'll be enough to make sure you don't go to the polls, won't it? Yeah. Todd says, I live 90 minutes from you in Bethesda, Maryland. Todd, Bethesda, Maryland is 6 hours from me. I live 90 minutes from you in Bethesda, Maryland. Fight, talk, and lobby here right off the delusional ephemeral battle and realize the war is lost. That's what HRC is going to give you guys. And I guess Trump won't. I don't know. And then this. You should pray for Trump. HRC will just lull the progressives to sleep and wake up with a big, big, big nightmare. But don't cry. That's our first woman president. So, fuck you, so-called pussy liberals, not you, Bob, personally, that was too scared to fight for Sanders and too scared of Hillary and the DNC leadershipless and the bogeyman Donald Trump. Given that domain, win, lose, or draw, progressive Democrats lose. Side bet, I'll give you 1 to 3 that all of the Supreme Court justices live and will serve out the court for another 4 years, and how many cases are in the pipeline. The bright dark side, the U.S. economy, Friday's numbers blue, will slow down in fourth quarter and first quarter 2017, so whomever is president, they can and will always blame Obama. See you after November 8th, and please don't blame us, the ones showering with the pure soap when it rains nonstop shit. And I was listening to Thomas the last two times she was on. We won the social war, but you fucking PC idiots are just playing teams. So when Trump wins, blame your milquetoast liberals and not the Bernie or Jill bots. Look in the mirror and ask yourselves, how can you advocate honestly? You've been Democrats in West Virginia. Scoop up your own decrypted, fossilized, and hardened monolithic shit as Democrats before you tell others how to vote. I can live with 4 years of Trump. Can you guys, and you guys can't? You guys should work on the within before trying to affect the without. In that way, one and really advocate. I'm sorry about your fallout with Angry. Sometimes he takes cross-victimization to a science way too far, but he was not down with Bernie at the beginning. He shared the same ambivalence and demands as many minorities, talking like a bidder for patronage rather than a supporter of the party. Hashtag DemExit. Are the millions of young people that Bernie Sanders motivated to register to vote really belonging to the Democrat Party? Hell, in New Jersey, my daughter was prevented to vote as a student. She had her Princeton ID, but the Hilarians gave her the third degree. She did vote for the first time, but now she's leading Jill Stein's goal to 15% now, so I'm voting Green in Maryland. Best wishes to the Horn family. Todd. You know, I want to share these things with you because I like for you to see what this election is doing to people who are of otherwise goodwill. Carol says, I've faced nothing but blowback, and is Todd covering my moving expenses, buying me a more expensive home that I could never hope to afford in a blue state? Takes bigger balls to stay here and fight than to flee to his bubble. Yeah, some of us it just can't resist. You know, it's a stand and fight, stand and fight, stand and fight. Marty says, wow, a bit harsh. But we need to understand that for many, and I read this in an article that Horse posted earlier, for many, the extreme left, but not all, have always seen as their greater enemy their nearer neighbors than the far right way off on the other side. And that's possible. Well, the phones are beginning to ring off the hook, but I regret to say that at 4 minutes past 8 p.m., I got to stop this. Because I've still got to work out a connection to, to Progressive Voices so we can get the Malloy program going at 9. So with that, I will humbly apologize and, hope you'll join in tomorrow evening. I look forward to it. I hope you do too. And I hope you enjoy the Malloy fill-in here in about an hour, assuming we get everything going.
Thanks, everybody. Got to make this a quick exit. Later.